live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, January 14th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
an historic vote in the House as President Trump is impeached for a second time.
Meantime, the president calls for calm and no violence as the country braces for protests.
As he prepares to take office, Joe Biden lays out plans for a new COVID relief package.
And new data brings promising news for the country's immunization effort.
Andrew Yang officially announces his candidacy for mayor of New York. Plus, Twitter CEO defends his company's ban of President Donald Trump. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Nets acquired James Harden, then beat the Knicks. The Rangers tonight host the Islanders in the season opener.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And S&P futures are higher this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points. Dow futures up 83. NASDAQ futures are down 31. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. CAC in Paris up 0.1%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32. They yield 1.11%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 10 cents at $53.01 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 1% or $17.80 at $18.37.20 an ounce. Nathan.
And Karen, we begin with a historic vote on Capitol Hill, making Donald Trump the only president to be impeached twice. The president is charged with incitement of insurrection. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says he must be held accountable.
The House demonstrated that no one is above the law. Not even the president of the United States.
The House vote was 232 to 197. 10 Republicans joined Democrats in the vote, but other GOP members say the move will hurt, not help the nation heal. Here's House Minority Whip Steve Scalise.
We need to be focused on toning down the rhetoric and helping heal this nation as we move towards a peaceful transition of power to President-elect Joe Biden next week.
And now Nancy Pelosi will decide how quickly to send the impeachment article to the Senate for a trial.
And when that happens, the fate of the president will rest with Republican leader Mitch McConnell. We get more on the next steps from Bloomberg's Karen Chase.
McConnell now holds more leverage than ever over President Trump. The Senate majority leader told Republican colleagues he'll block the start of an impeachment trial before President-elect Biden takes office on Wednesday. But he hasn't ruled out voting to convict this time. He also says he hasn't made up his mind yet. Karen Chase, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Karen, thanks. As the clock ticks down on Donald Trump's presidency, the question now is whether partisan politics can take a back seat under Joe Biden. Pennsylvania's Democratic Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman says it's a good time for both sides to reach across the aisle.
You know, reaching out to the other side and making sure that members of the Republican Party are firmly in lockstep with this idea that violence is unacceptable. Any kind of insurrection, any kind of anything. This idea that Joe Biden may not be your president, but he will be the president.
Fetterman spoke with our chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli, on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg Radio.
President Trump is now among those calling for calm in the nation's capital. He released a video condemning last week's riot on Capitol Hill and asking Americans to avoid further violence.
Today I am calling on all Americans to overcome the passions of the moment and join together as one American people.
The president's message made no mention of impeachment and comes as law enforcement around the country prepares for protests ahead of the inauguration.
With just 6 days until he takes office, Joe Biden is making plans to help the battered economy. The president-elect unveils plans for a new stimulus package tonight. CNN reports the cost of the measure is likely to come in around $2 trillion. Biden delivers a formal announcement of the plan at 7 p.m., which we will bring you live on Bloomberg Radio.
Treasury yields rising on that report, though the broader market response has been somewhat muted. Richard Jones is an FX and rates strategist for Bloomberg News.
I think they've been expecting this for quite some time, so it could be argued that a substantial fiscal stimulus package has already been priced. I mean, the size of this package is slightly higher than the $1.3 trillion that have been floating around before. And I think that's what markets are reacting to. But all in all, I think it's not a huge surprise for investors that we're getting this.
U.S. futures rose on the news of the stimulus package, but are now off their session highs. S&P futures currently up about 5 points.
And when it comes to the pandemic, we're coming off another day of deaths, near 4,000. L.A. County remains the epicenter of this latest wave, where 1 in 3 people has been infected. Now, Public Health Director Barbara Ferrer warns the new strain of the virus is spreading.
This is our time to try to get the surge under control before the variant is widespread. And in order to get our hospitals back to a reasonable level of care and operations.
Daily U.S. infections continue to run above 200,000, but the strain on hospitals appears to be easing. The COVID Tracking Project says hospitalizations are beginning to drop in the Northeast and Midwest.
Meantime, we're seeing early data show promising results for the vaccine from Johnson & Johnson. And Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. John.
And Karen, Johnson & Johnson's experimental shot generated a long-lasting immune response in an early study. The progress is being closely watched by top infectious disease experts because its vaccine could protect people just after one shot, making mass vaccination campaigns a lot easier. More than 90% of participants created antibodies within 29 days of receiving the shot. All the participants formed the antibodies within 57 days. And when it comes to the vaccines already approved, the U.S. has so far administered more than 10.8 million doses. You can get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Turning to Wall Street now, some big banks are up in arms over a last-minute vote or move from an appointee of President Trump. The Office of the Comptroller of the Currency plans to pass a rule today that will force banks to lend to gun manufacturers, oil drillers, and other controversial industries. The agency's acting head, Brian Brooks, plans to step down after issuing the regulation.
At the same time, the White House is pulling back on plans to ban investment in Chinese companies like Alibaba and Tencent. Bloomberg News has learned the Treasury Department is blocking the Pentagon from halting investment in the firms. Shares of both companies rose on the news. And again, S&P futures up 5 points this morning. Dow futures up 95 and NASDAQ futures moving lower, down 24. Straight ahead, we get a look at your local headlines and a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a look at what's been going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A former White House candidate has his eye on Gracie Mansion. Andrew Yang is looking to be the next mayor of New York City. Yang filed the official paperwork yesterday at the city's campaign finance board saying he's formed a mayoral campaign committee. The former Democratic presidential candidate outlined his plan in the campaign ad.
We need to realize Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream of a guaranteed minimum income and get cash into the hands of people who need it most.
Hang in there. Help's on the way.
Yang also says he wants to bring New York City into the 21st century by giving everyone high-speed internet so our kids can learn. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey defended his company's ban of President Trump as the right decision in his first public comment on the subject. In a Twitter thread, he warned that such actions could set a dangerous precedent. Banning an account, he said, revealed Twitter's failure to avoid such situations in the first place. Mayor Bill de Blasio says President Donald Trump will no longer have a skating rink or a golf course in New York City. The city is ending all contracts with the Trump Organization after last week's deadly riot at the Capitol following a rallying speech by the president. De Blasio says the city wants nothing to do with the Trump name.
This president has committed an unlawful act. He has disgraced himself. He will no longer profit from his relationship with New York City. We will not allow it.
De Blasio says the Trump Organization profits about $17 million a year from those sites. Mayor De Blasio also says the New York Mets Stadium is being prepped to become a 24/7 COVID vaccine clinic. And now it's a Subway Series with Yankee Stadium planning to join the roster.
We've heard back from the New York Yankees, and we welcome them into the fold, too. We're working with them now to work out a plan to use Yankee Stadium as well, and that's going to be great.
An aerial search for victims and wreckage from a crashed Indonesian plane has expanded as divers continue combing the debris-littered seabed looking for the cockpit voice recorder from the lost jet. The jet disappeared Saturday minutes after taking off from Jakarta with 62 people on board. So far, at least 6 bodies have been recovered. Global news 24 hours a day, on air, and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Let's bring in John Stashar for the Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
Thanks, Nathan. The folks in Vegas have moved the Nets ahead of Milwaukee. Brooklyn, now the betting favorite to win the NBA's Eastern Conference. They already had Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and now they've added James Harden, and all he's done is be the NBA's leading scorer each of the last three seasons. Harden had gone public with his displeasure in Houston, so they sent him to the Nets for a boatload of draft picks, three first-rounders, and a chance to swap picks in four other years. Trade involved two other teams. The Nets dealt Caris LeVert to Indiana, Jared Allen and Torian Prince to Cleveland. Adrian Wojnarowski covers the NBA for ESPN.
This is a massive deal all around. Listen, for the Brooklyn Nets to go out and get James Harden, you know, this was something that Kevin Durant very much wanted. He and Harden started talking about this months ago.
Apparently what Kevin Durant wants, he gets. Now we'll see about three stars who are all used to taking a lot of shots, being able to share the ball. Only Durant played last night. Irving missed his fifth straight game due to personal reasons. Nets took the lead with a big second quarter. They beat the Knicks at the Garden, 116-109. Durant scored 26. Julius Randle had 30 for the Knicks, who've now lost four in a row. There's hockey at the Garden tonight. That hasn't happened since last March. Rangers and Islanders in the season opener. The Devils host the Bruins. San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh has reportedly emerged as the favorite to become the new head coach of the Jets. He's interviewed with them twice. Saleh is 41, has been an assistant with three other teams previously. Former Houston Texans head coach Bill O'Brien will now coach the offense at Alabama. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. It's a record for New Jersey. The state took in nearly $1 billion worth of sports bets in December. More than $6 billion in bets were placed in all of last year in New Jersey after won a Supreme Court case in 2018, clearing the way for the ongoing expansion of legalized sports betting in America. Right now, S&P futures are higher, but little changed, only up 2 points at the moment. Dow futures up 73, NASDAQ futures lower by 33 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Treasury yields rising with stocks after a report suggested President-elect Joe Biden plans COVID-19 relief of about $2 trillion. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are higher, up 4 points. Dow futures up 81. NASDAQ futures are down 24. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.10%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.1%, down 4 cents at $52.87 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.9% or $17.50 at $18.3740 an ounce. The euro 1.2157 against the dollar, British pound 1.3648, and the yen is at 104.01. BlackRock reporting a fourth quarter profit and revenue that beat analyst estimates, and we're also watching today for the weekly report on initial jobless claims out at 8:30 Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump has been impeached by the U.S. House over the violent siege of the Capitol. In a 232-197 vote, Trump became the only president to be twice impeached. He faced a single charge, incitement of insurrection, in yesterday's vote after he encouraged a mob of loyalists to, as he put it, fight like hell against election results. Security was exceptionally tight at the Capitol for the impeachment vote, beefed up by armed National Guard troops. A handful of Republicans supported impeachment along with the Democrats. In the NBA, the Nets down the Knicks 116-109. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Now the latest on the virus. After another day with close to 4,000 deaths in this country alone, more than 200,000 people being infected by the day, there are promising developments, though, on the vaccine. vaccine front. And for more, we're very pleased to be joined by Amish Adalja, senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. Great to have you, as always, with us, Professor. We're also seeing signs hospitalizations are starting to flatten out. But, of course, infections and the death rate are at such elevated levels. I wonder whether you think we've seen the worst of it, or could there be even more to come?
I do think we're going to see some leveling out in hospitalizations, but deaths are still going to increase for some time. You have to remember that deaths are going to lag, so they're going to be the last thing to get better and the last thing to get worse when things get worse. So we will continue to see these thousands of deaths per day still continuing to occur for the next couple of weeks. But it does look like there has been some plateauing. It's a very high plateau with lots of numbers of cases. But hopefully in time, what we'll see is the phase 1A individuals, especially the nursing home residents, getting vaccinated, and we won't see them constitute a lot of the hospitalizations as they have. So it's going to be still a little bit rocky as we move through these next couple of weeks.
You mentioned phase 1A individuals. We've gotten new guidance from the Centers for Disease Control recommending that states open up vaccinations to anyone over age 65. What kind of effect could that have, not just on the pandemic, but on the effort to inoculate people themselves?
Hopefully it's going to have a really good effect, because what we've been seeing is that although we had priority groups and they were well thought out, they started to become an obstacle to getting vaccine into people's arms, that there was a lot of consternation and deliberation over what to do with extra doses. If supply and demand weren't matched completely on a day, what do you start to vaccinate 1B? How do you approach that? And I think that was slowing things down. So I do think giving flexibility to the vaccination program with a good faith effort to try and stick to people that are high risk first, that makes a lot more sense. But again, one of the issues we have to remember is that it's not just about vaccine supply. It's also about having enough vaccinator and infrastructure in place to be able to actually get the vaccine into people's arms. So states need to be able to do that as well, because they're having a difficulty even dispensing all that they've been given. So we have to make sure this isn't going to be, think of this as a panacea. We still need to make sure that we have places to do these vaccines, that we have people to vaccinate, that we have a lot of public messaging about when it's time for people to get vaccinated. All of that needs to be in place as well. It's not just about the doses.
And, of course, we continue to watch developments around some of the vaccines that have yet to receive emergency use authorization, including early safety study data from Johnson & Johnson's one-shot inoculation. Some pretty positive signs there, with all participants making antibodies in less than 2 months. Is this a shot that could give lasting immunity, do you think?
I do suspect that when we see the phase 3 data and when we get more and more time accumulated in the trial participants, that this will be something that provides robust immunity. Everybody wants to see the phase 3 trial data to know for sure, but phase 2 does look good, and I do think this will be a vaccine that's on track to get an emergency use authorization later this year.
What impact could it have when mixed in with other vaccines that are already in development and have already started to be distributed, like the Pfizer and Moderna shot, when you have so many different vaccines going out all at once? What impact does that have?
I think it might be logistically challenging, but the fact is the Johnson & Johnson is a single-dose vaccine, and it will greatly expand capacity and the ability to vaccinate people quickly and easier. I think it's not going to have the same cumbersome cold chain as the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines do, and then because it's one dose, you don't have to worry about people coming back. So I do think it would be very impactful if we had a single dose vaccine that didn't have onerous storage requirements available, and it'll make it much easier to bring a vaccine closer to people and vaccinate them at doctor's offices, at drug stores, and even at mass vaccination sites, especially now because we have to keep people for 15 minutes after the Moderna and Pfizer vaccinations because of the risk of severe allergies. If you didn't have that, you could kind of move people through very quickly in mass vaccination sites.
Only about 30 seconds left here, but we hear so much about new variants of the virus. Do those run a risk of leading to more surges?
Well, most new variants aren't going to pose much of a problem, but we're seeing some evidence that the UK variant and the South African variant do have the ability to transmit more efficiently. And that just means we have to do things better. We have to be much better at social distancing, washing hands, and wearing face coverings, because they could contribute to the rise in cases the way they have in Ireland, the way they have in the UK. So we have to be more vigilant. And the vaccine is likely to work on them, so I don't think we have to worry about that. But we can't let this get a hold on our country.
Amish Adalja, senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. Always good to have you with us. Thank you for being here. S&P futures right now up 4 points. Dow futures up 83. NASDAQ futures lower by 28 points this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by your Tri-State Area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We're coming off a historic vote in the House as President Trump is impeached for a second time.
The ayes are 232. The nays are 197. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
The House charged the president with incitement of insurrection. Now House Speaker Nancy Pelosi must decide how quickly to send the charge to the Senate for trial.
And when that happens, the fate of the president will rest with the leader of the Senate. And we get more on the next steps from Bloomberg's Karen Chase.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell isn't ruling out voting to convict the now twice impeached President Trump, this time saying he hasn't made up his mind yet. But he also says the trial won't begin until around the time of President-elect Biden's inauguration. Meanwhile, the Biden transition team is exploring a possible bipartisan pact to split the Senate's time between regular duties like confirming cabinet nominees and the trial. Karen Chase, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Karen, thank you. President Trump, meantime, is urging calm in the wake of last week's violence. He released a video calling for Americans to join together.
There is never a justification for violence. No excuses, no exceptions. America is a nation of laws.
The president's message made no mention of impeachment and comes as law enforcement around the country prepares for protests leading up to Inauguration Day.
And with just 6 days until he takes office, Joe Biden is making plans to help the battered economy. The president-elect unveils plans for a new stimulus package tonight. CNN is reporting the cost of the measure is likely to come in around $2 trillion. Biden delivers a formal announcement of the plan at 7 p.m., which we will bring you live on Bloomberg Radio.
Meanwhile, we're seeing early data showing promising results for a vaccine from Johnson & Johnson. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. John.
And Karen, Johnson & Johnson's experimental shot generated a long-lasting immune response in an early study. The one-shot vaccine generated more antibodies than a single dose of other frontrunners, all of which are two-shot regimens. The J&J shot could potentially make mass vaccination campaigns a lot easier. The company expects results from a final stage study early next month, and that could lead to regulatory authorization by March. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. We have earnings coming in from BlackRock. The firm's reporting a total of more than $8.6 trillion in assets under management, beating estimates, as did revenue, inflows, and earnings per share. S&P futures up 2 points, Dow futures up 66, NASDAQ futures lower by 33 points. Straight ahead, your local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And at 6:33 on Wall Street, this news update is brought to you by your Tri-State Area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you very much. A former presidential candidate is looking to be the next mayor of New York. Andrew Yang outlined his plan in the campaign ad yesterday.
I'm running for mayor for my two boys, for you, and for every New Yorker.
We're going to vote for you.
Thank you. Let's fight for a future New York City that we can all be proud of.
Yang filed the official paperwork at the city's campaign finance board, saying he's formed a mayoral campaign committee. Yang wants to give every New Yorker high-speed internet so kids can learn. Has a second impeachment damaged President Trump's future with the Republican Party? Former Republican Governor of New Jersey Chris Christie tells ABC's Nightline the president's reaction to the election has caused a significant unraveling.
the president has shown a complete disregard for the truth about a fundamental part of our American system, and that is the voting system to elect our president. I think that's damaged him, and I think it's damaged him significantly.
Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey defended his company's ban of President Trump as the right decision. In his first public comment on the subject, Dorsey warned that such actions could set a dangerous precedent. Dorsey also says banning an account revealed Twitter's failure to avoid such situations in the first place. The homes to baseball's Mets and Yankees are preparing to become 24/7 COVID vaccine sites in New York City. It comes as the state has increased vaccine eligibility to anyone 65 years and older. Meanwhile, California is joining New York and New Jersey in expanding the numbers of people eligible to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
In California, Governor Gavin Newsom says it is the best way to start keeping the older population out of the hospital and ICU wards. So he is moving the Tier 1A to include all citizens over the age of 65. Along with that, the state is opening mass vaccination centers at Cal Expo in Sacramento, Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles, and Disneyland. Now, the incoming Biden administration isn't totally sold on the idea, saying it could overwhelm states and create unrealistic expectations for people waiting for shots. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Here's John Stashire with the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The Nets have done this before. Mortgage the future, gone for a championship in 2013. Having just moved to Brooklyn, they sent three first-round draft picks to Boston for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. They were well past their prime. That trade turned out to be a disaster. James Harden has averaged over 30 points a game each of the last three seasons, the 2018 MVP. He comes to the Nets from Houston, where Harden had demanded a trade, and he does not come cheap. The Nets had to send away a couple of good players. Caris LeVert goes to Indiana, Jared Allen to Cleveland, and they gave the Rockets three first-round draft picks and the chance to swap picks in four other years, but it gives the Nets a monster big three. Harden with Kevin Durant. They were teammates for 3 years in Oklahoma City. They're maybe the two best scorers in the league. And they still have Kyrie Irving if he ever decides to rejoin the Nets. He's missed the last five games due to personal reasons. At the Garden, Nets beat the Knicks 116-109. Won the second quarter 35-20. Durant scored 26. Coach Steve Nash could not talk about the trade. Not yet official, but he liked the win.
Interesting day today, and a back-to-back, like you said, and the fifth and seven nights. So, you know, they came out and were professional, did a great job defensively, moved the ball offensively, made simple plays, didn't turn it over, you know, battled on the boards. So, you know, overall, really proud of the way they played under what was a long week.
Knicks, meanwhile, looking like the same old Knicks. They've lost four in a row. Rangers and Islanders at the Garden tonight to start the shortened NHL regular season. All games will be played within the division. John Stashow at Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names on the move in the pre-market. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson joins me now. Dave, earnings season's on.
It is, and we have the first report from a company in the S&P 500. That's BlackRock. Shares are up 1.5% in early trading. The money manager's fourth quarter earnings and revenue beat analyst average estimates in a Bloomberg survey. And BlackRock's assets under management ended the quarter at about $8.7 trillion, which also topped projections. Plus, the company said it would seek a dividend increase this month. Now, there are two more reports from S&P 500 companies due before the opening bell. One is from the California-based private bank First Republic. The other is from Delta Airlines. Now, Delta, analysts are anticipating a fourth straight quarterly loss, equivalent to about $2.50 a share, and the average revenue estimate calls for a decline of 69% to about $3.6 billion, and that's actually better than Delta had in the last couple of quarters.
Yeah, especially around the pandemic. All this as we await the real kickoff of earnings season tomorrow with the first of the six big banks. We've also had some CEO moves in recent hours with Intel, particularly, Dave.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and the shares are up for a second day after the chipmaker replaced CEO Bob Swan with software maker VMware CEO Pat Gelsinger, who's actually a veteran of Intel. And the stock's up 2.5% in early trading. Intel was raised the equivalent of buy from hold at BMO Capital Markets, Cowen, and Morgan Stanley. We should point out the shares were up yesterday by 7%. That was the biggest gain since April. Contrast that with Nordstrom, which is down 5.5%. The department store chain's holiday sales fell 22% from a year ago, and that's with online purchases climbing 23% and accounting for more than half of its sales. One more stock I'll mention, Virgin Galactic, up 12.5%. This is a space tourism company founded by Richard Branson. It's higher because money manager Cathie Wood's ARK Investment Management filed to start an exchange-traded fund for space exploration. And why that matters? Well, Wood's flagship ARK Innovation ETF rose about 150% last year thanks to investments in Tesla and other high-flying stocks. So investors may well be figuring that they'll do just as well in their space investing.
Yeah, high flying in more ways than one. Bloomberg Stocks Editor Dave Wilson, thanks for being with us as always. We'll be checking in with you, of course, throughout the day. And as we look at the broader market this morning, mixed action in the futures contracts with S&P futures up a point, Dow futures up 59, NASDAQ futures on the decline. They're down by 35 points. 10-year Treasury is down 7/32, the yield 1.10%, 2-year Treasury yield 0.14%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, it's going to be partly sunny with a high near 45 today. Tomorrow, clouds and upper 40s, rain tomorrow night, but it'll end by the morning. It'll be breezy and mild on Saturday with a high near 50. 38 degrees right now.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Treasury yields rising along with futures after a report suggested President-elect Joe Biden plans COVID-19 relief of about $2 trillion. S&P futures, they're up 3 points this morning. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Dow futures are up 70. NASDAQ futures moving lower, though, down 23. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.10%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.2% or 8 cents at $52.83 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.8% or $14.20 at $18.40.60 an ounce. The euro 1.2156 against the dollar. British pound 1.3647. And the yen is at 103.99. BlackRock's assets under management rising to a record $8.68 trillion in the fourth quarter as markets continued to rally. Investors added a net $116.2 billion to the firm's long-term investment products, such as mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, 10 Republicans joined House Democrats in impeaching President Trump yesterday. Just 1 week after he was mobbed by pro-Trump rioters, lawmakers voted to impeach President Trump for the second time. That's a first in American history. In a 232-197 vote, the House reached the simple majority needed to charge the president with incitement of insurrection. Meanwhile, the president, in a statement, condemned last week's Capitol riot, saying, "No true supporter of mine could ever endorse political violence." He's still not taking any responsibility for the attack. In the NBA, the Nets down the Knicks 116-109. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Impeached again. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Donald Trump is now the only president to be impeached twice, this time with very few Republicans defending him. Democrats had plenty of animus for Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush, and yet neither was impeached by Democratic houses despite serious scandals. So why Trump? The extent of his lawlessness matters. But it's not just lawbreaking that convinced some Republicans to go along, others to condemn him, staffers to resign in protest, former administration officials to endorse removal, and numerous distinguished Republicans to agree. Trump has alienated almost everyone in the political system, just as Richard Nixon did before resigning in 1974. Trump was impeached for specific actions, but he's given himself no room for error. He built no relationships with Democrats and relatively few with Republicans. Partisan polarization may still save Trump from being convicted by the Senate, but after 4 years, he leaves without significant friends or allies and with staff and executive branch officials openly ignoring his orders. He'll be remembered as a weak, lawless failure. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's now 6:50 on Wall Street. And it is time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories include the second impeachment for President Donald Trump. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell now holds the president's fate as impeachment moves to the Senate. And President-elect Joe Biden's economic plan will test Republicans' taste for deal making. So much to get to this morning with Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter. Of course, the unprecedented second impeachment of an American president is overshadowing just about everything in Washington, I have to imagine, Kate. So what happens next after this historic vote?
Well, we're really looking ahead to the Senate, which, as we know, the last time around when Trump was impeached, that's where he was tried and ultimately not convicted. And I think there's a sense, you know, that that could be potentially a different outcome this time around. So I think what a lot of folks, myself included, are going to be watching over the next several days are any signs from Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who we heard from yesterday a bit in a letter that he sent to some colleagues indicating that he significantly not ruling out the possibility of supporting a conviction. So that's something we'll watch very closely. In addition to that, any other Republican senators who might come out strongly or, you know, even just kind of tipping their hand as to how they might vote in this upcoming trial, because it would take about 17 Republicans to side with Democrats in order to convict Trump of this impeachment charge that is now going to be sent over from the House.
And, of course, that assumes that all 50 Democrats vote to convict as well. Obviously, a very high bar here. What are we hearing as far as a potential defense from President Trump? We did hear from him via video yesterday, but he didn't really reference the actual impeachment vote.
No, he didn't. And I think that, you know, one of the sort of behind the scenes things that was going on yesterday, I think, is this sense that perhaps the because of the lightning fast pace at which the House moved on this impeachment article, that, you know, the president wasn't really set up with a strong legal team or anything along the lines of what he went into the last Senate trial with. And so I think part of the thinking here is perhaps, at least on the part of the White House, the outgoing administration, is to have some time to kind of get that legal defense together. It's not entirely clear that that's been totally put together as of yet. And I think in the meantime, though, what we did see from Trump yesterday was, you know, the beginnings of an attempt, both in a statement and the video, to kind of lower the temperature and, you know, if not accept responsibility for what happened or indicate that he might have some accountability there, at least try to talk about the need for unity and the need to move past violence and just even the idea of violence being bad. And I think it's important to note that that's a very different message from what we heard from Trump last week on the day of the Capitol riots, when he, you know, called the rioters very special people, expressed affection for them. And then, you know, just the day before, just 2 days ago, went to the Texas border and was again very, very defiant in his public remarks.
And while we wait to hear about the potential timing of a Senate trial, we've heard from President-elect Joe Biden reaching out to Senate leaders to try to find some way to mount a trial and push forward with his legislative and staff confirming agenda at the same time. How will lawmakers be able to thread this needle?
Well, it's tricky. And, you know, I think this is part of Mitch McConnell's thinking in terms of not reconvening right away to have the Senate begin a trial is, I think, from his perspective and Republicans' perspective, you know, complicating the first couple days, perhaps weeks of Joe Biden's administration by, you know, putting off an impeachment trial until then, does have a political upside in the starkest of terms, because just what you've hit on, Nathan, is that, you know, there are these issues like Joe Biden wants to get his cabinet confirmed. He wants to start working on an economic stimulus package that we might hear the tales of today. He, you know, trying to do that at the same time that the Senate's conducting an impeachment trial for Biden's predecessor obviously makes that more complicated.
Only about a minute left here. What are we expecting to hear from the president-elect on that economic plan?
Well, we think that, you know, the price tag is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $2 trillion. That's what, you know, Biden has indicated and what our reporting indicates. That is a much bigger number than what was in discussion at the end of last year, you know, over the months and months of the fall and into December. But I think that, you know, the fact that Democrats did win those Georgia Senate seats does pave the way for some kind of a bigger deal potentially. But again, you know, the caveat there has to be that we don't know how this impeachment trial is going to play out. We don't know what the partisan kind of landscape is going to look like. And it was already going to be a heavy lift. This lingering issue about Trump only makes it more difficult.
Yeah, lots of unanswered questions to get to in just the days to come. Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter, thanks for providing some answers to what we know so far. And of course, you can read more about all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. And tune in tonight when we do expect to hear President-elect Biden's announcement of his economic plan. We're expecting that around 7 p.m. Wall Street time when the president-elect speaks. You will hear it on Bloomberg Radio. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, providing industry partners with commercially focused research and innovation services through its New Jersey Innovation Institute. More at njii.com. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Universal Studios Japan postponed the opening of its much-anticipated Super Nintendo World theme park. A worsening spread of the coronavirus prompted the government to expand its state of emergency declaration. The park won't open on February 4th as planned and has been put on indefinite hiatus. Fidelity Investments and Capital Group ranked the worst of the world's 10 biggest asset managers last year on pushing high carbon emitters to curb their role in global warming. According to the study by London-based think tank Influence Map, Legal and General Investment Management scored the highest on engagement. And farming shrimp indoors in a controlled environment close to where the creature's food source is produced can cut carbon emissions by almost three quarters. That's according to the chief executive officer of True Shrimp Company. True Shrimp is the first company to test shallow water indoor shrimp farming on a commercial scale in the U.S. A study produced by researcher Boundless Impact showed the company's greenhouse gas intensity was an average 69% lower than for the most widely used shrimp farming systems. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. S&P futures higher up 5 points this morning, and Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.